We'll call the Gage County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for Wednesday, June 14th, 2023, at 9:03 on the clock. We'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall to my left. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Axby, Schuler, Tiemann, Dorn, Swavely, and Mr. Lytle is held up today. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve the general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held May 31st, 2023. Approve our claims through June 14th, 2023 in the amount of $1,875,975.64. Accept claim number 2306-0123 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $201.58 to be voted on separately below. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve district court summary, fee report, and register of deed, fee report for the month of May 23. Utility permit number 1275 to Windstream Nebraska LLC. Windstream will be replacing a fiber line for Gage County Project C341234. Windstream will plow new fiber up to existing structure and then bore a 2-inch diameter by 10-foot deep line under flow line approximately 50 feet under structure, then continue plowing north approximately 50 feet and splice into new fiber. Exit existing fiber and add new pedestal. All work is in the East Greater Ditch of South 36th Road, approximately 450-foot north of Osage Road, located west of Section 5, Township 2 North, Range 7 East, Blue Springs, Wymore Township. Utility permit number 1276 to Mid-America Pipeline Company, LLC. Mid-America will be performing pipeline maintenance for propane line on Osage Road, approximately 1,350 feet west of Highway 77. Mid-America will be occupying the north side of the Gage County right-of-way and northern natural gas right-of-way while performing maintenance on the line located south of Section 4, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, Sicily Township. Receive county audit for fiscal year ending June 30th, 2022, and place on file. Approve receiving the sheriff's statement on collection of distress warrants for May 2023. For the 10 o'clock for the sheriff, do we need to put anything on there or add that to the agenda, or would we be able to just talk as we have another guest available, counselor? Or do we have to add anything to the agenda for a 10 o'clock?
If you're going to do the emergency session, I would, put it on there and state the reason.
The sheriff had asked about adding a meeting with the chief of police just for discussion over some changes in their budget, which ends the end of this month. So I guess I'd ask for a motion to amend the agenda for emergency reason due to timing to allow for an additional person to be put on for the sheriff. It would be Chief Hickman and approximately 10 o'clock.
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Haxby, second by Schuler. We'll add item 10. Discussion with, well, that won't be right. We'll add a 10 o'clock approximate line item to talk with Chief Hickman. Motion by Haxby, second by Schuler. Please vote. 6 in favor.
I can go ahead and cover that.
Okay.
Last item that's on your agenda already. Since we'd already be in closed session, we'll cover that so we won't have two of them.
Okay, perfect. 10 o'clock. Sure. All right. I'd ask for a motion to approve the consent agenda.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda with the amendment.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2306-0123 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $201.58. This would bring the total amount of claims approved through June 14, 2023 to $1,876,177.22.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. Please vote. 5 in favor with Juergens abstaining. Motion carries. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Ms. Mason. Good morning.
Good morning.
Ashley Mason, 1300 Lincoln Street. You'll be patient with me. I had a cold last week and lost my voice, so sometimes it just stops. So
people wish that happens to us more often.
You might be wishing that today. Over the last 2 years, I've sat and watched this board through highs and lows. The foundation of this particular board is your active partnership with the people. Your continued willingness and effort to lawfully, passionately, and honestly serve the people of Gage County is commendable. But I have always said that if I felt you were out of focus, I would tell you. Last meeting was a clear low point as you discussed and voted to put the solar regulations into effect. I fully understand that these votes aren't easy and have many factors, but the need for industry and growth against the need for personal freedom are at their highest level in recent years. Your job is always first to protect the people. Industry is always second. This last meeting was discouraging. Many of you knowingly voted on regulations that you didn't have the information for. Your words. Not all of it was low, but there were far more low points than high ones. The overall outcome is better than I expected. Having left the meeting early, I was able to listen to it in its entirety later. These are just a few of my takeaways. I appreciate the dedication that Gary Lytle had to understanding the pros and cons of the proposed exemption for industry regulations. Although I did disagree with him in some areas, I appreciated his willingness to discuss, compromise, and attempt to research before voting, truly showing that he wanted the best for the county as a whole. I was several times appreciative of Dave Swaley's views, but was ultimately disappointed that you chose to cast a vote knowing you didn't have all the needed information. This was unlike any vote I have seen you give in your first year as District 2 Supervisor. You have always been clear that you would not vote without full information. Eddie Dorn, as always, your calm demeanor helped everyone stay focused. Thank you, Don Schuler, for making your position clear as always. We don't often agree, but it's nice to know where you are on this issue. I know you struggle with firm commercial regulations, but it's been clear through this particular issue that your constituents want them. Remember, they voted for you to be their voice, not your own. I was at the same planning and zoning meetings as you. The people who spoke do not want commercial solar farms taking over their county. Those are the people you need to listen to. You need to stop listening to corporations and others who tell you to do what you want. This position isn't about you. It's about the people in this county. Emily Haxby, no one can say you haven't put your heart and soul into these regulations. It's clear you have spent countless hours researching and speaking with as many constituents as possible for this matter. While your frustrations could get the best of you, you managed to keep your cool even when the battle was lost on several issues. Terry Juergens, I was happy to see you ask as many questions as you needed until you fully understood to the best of your ability what was before you to be voted on. But despite having asked so many questions, I was ultimately disappointed in many of your votes. Sadly, Eric Thiemann, you didn't serve. It was painfully obvious that you had an alternative motive for your first proposed amendment about industrial zoning and solar regulations. It was clear to everyone in the room that day that you wanted that amendment passed for future business deals and quite possibly one currently happening. The way you pushed your will on the board by withholding needed information is the most distasteful thing I have ever witnessed here in this room. I have sat and watched you lead this board for over 2 years, encouraging everyone I meet to come and learn from you. This was the first time I was genuinely disappointed in you as an elected civil servant and leader in this community. You may have felt as though you were impartially leading the board, but it was clear that you and Rachel from Engage had a plan from the get-go. You manipulated your fellow board members, and I was dumbfounded as I watched it happen. By allowing Engage, an organization that is funded in part with taxpayer money, to influence you and your position on this board, you have circumvented the democratic process, the will of the people, and violated the rights of every taxpaying Gage County citizen. When Rachel sat there and told the audience that she was here, quote, to ensure that Eric stuck to the plan we have made, to make eye contact with him and give him the look, reminding him to stay on task and accomplish what we set to do, end quote. I am appalled that you have allowed Rachel to be your puppeteer. I finally understood why she so diligently attended all of the P&Z meetings. Months and months of effort were put into these regulations. The P&Z board worked to create regulations that would best serve everyone, industry included. Dozens of people came and spoke about their needs with one amendment from you, Eric. And no prior public discussion, you threw aside the will of the people to pacify Engage. If an Engage director cannot do her job without controlling and puppeting an elected official, perhaps you, county supervisors, need to reconsider who you have hired. You are her boss. She is not yours. You pay her to be honest and to have integrity, and that is what the citizens insist on. Having seen the city of Beatrice behave in this backhanded and corrupt manner time and again, and you yourself having admonished them, I truly thought you were above those unscrupulous actions, Eric, and wouldn't behave the same way. I hope that in the future, before voting, you stop to consider your oath to the Constitution, your dedication to this country, and hold that responsibility in a higher regard over all potential business deals. Thank you, Roger Harris, for your comment to Shuler about being an elected civil servant and knowing what your constituents want. I hope to see you put that into practice in the coming months. I am not naive to business, politics, or contracts. I am aware that compromise is needed, but compromise to one's integrity, honesty, and credibility is never acceptable and deplorable of any elected civil servant. I am in favor of industry here in Gage County, but industry that is based on integrity and direct honesty. If we can't stand by those simple principles, then why are any of us here? I know that each of you are truly dedicated in your position on this board, and I hope moving forward you don't lose sight of why you were elected, to serve this county according to the Constitution of this great state, to be the voice of the people. After all, this is a government of the people, for the people. Our Constitution establishes a federal democratic republic form of government. It is a democracy because people govern themselves. It is a representative because people choose elected officials by ballot. We demand that you represent us, not work against us. We are the people. To vote the way your constituents want above all else is key to this great republic. You have each been elected to serve. I continue to look forward to seeing each of you in that service. I will continue to work alongside you, support you, and campaign for you because I know that you will continue to do great things for this county, setting a continued example of true patriotism for all other elected officials to follow across the state. But should you continue down this course you have chosen, you can be and will be replaced. I leave you with this quote from a book simply titled Education. The greatest want of the world is the want of men, men who will not be bought or sold, men who in their inmost souls are true and honest, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, whose conscience is true to duty as the needle to the pole, men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mason. Anyone else for public comment? I would discuss with you some, but we can do that another time just because of the format here. But we do appreciate your comments. Committee reports, building and grounds, winter lights. Mr. Swavely.
Yeah, we'll bring David up. He's got all the information, so. Morning, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. We had just a few small projects going on, some improvements out at the extension office. We talked about removing an interior entrance door to give them a better path to get in. It was designed in the 70s, and there's kind of a sharp angle there when you walk in, and would like to make that a handicap accessible entrance on that side. We talked about the boardroom, the WebEx proposal that Applied Connective is working on. They are going to come down next Wednesday at 10:45 and take a look at our space, and I would like to talk to them about what would be needed if we do improve the counter to make it all compatible with the new system. And about the last thing, we did get some conceptual ideas on an improved ramp coming into the building and possibly putting a security station in that same area. As of now, we would like to just put that on hold and kind of come up with some more ideas. Just, I'd like to keep this discussion going yet. We always have an issue with coming into this building. You know, a lot of courthouses are ground level, where ours, you come in at a lower level. And so that does kind of create a problem, and then if we did put a security station in, we would need space for that also. So I would like to just keep that in the future, and so we're going to try and squeak out another year out of our existing ramp. It does work. It just was during some of those extreme cold, windy days. You can tell that it's not doing the job that it used to do. So hopefully we have a warm winter. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, Mr. Jones. Equalization. We talked about that a little bit this morning. This is going to be an ongoing discussion. Valuations have gone up. Years ago, we saw them with the agricultural land. Agricultural land has gone up, but it's more stabilized compared to the commercial and the residential. So I would say, as constituents call, please explain how the taxes work. Explain how assessment works, and explain how that will function with the actual tax asking from different organizations, and encourage them to talk to the assessor's office as soon as possible to talk about any problems with valuations. Also, as we said, we'll be setting a special meeting for approval of all tax slips and dealing with any disputed assessments also in early July.
You might have to have more than one meeting, so.
Yeah, it may end up. For the actual approval, we'll read through them, but for actual going over disputes, it may take longer. But we'll take whatever amount of time it takes.
Yeah.
Finance and insurance, Mr. Juergens.
Large ticket items, advanced correctional health care, jail on-site medical services, $11,746.35, applied connective technologies, computer equipment, software, support, $26,561.64, Gage County, fund transfer to general and road and insurance, $958,842.18, NERMA, insurance renewal, $269,066. Beatrice Concrete, Sand and Gravel, Rock and Gravel, $76,853.45. Contact Engineered Solutions, Project Pipe, $39,745. NMC Exchange, Parts and Oil, $16,456.51. Sapp Brothers Petroleum Fuel, $19,898.70. Mason Area Construction Incorporated, Phase 2 Exterior Restoration, $33,000. That's it.
Thank you, Mr. Juergens. And that follows everything else with insurance rates going up. I will say, being a member of NERMA, we looked at another county that just joined this year, and it wasn't exactly half, but it was in that ballpark area. NERMA's bid to them for liability and everything was very, very economical compared to two other insurance carriers. So it's a good savings for the county as a whole. Human resources, employee relations. We haven't had a lot of discussions there.
I would just note, since Don's not here today, the officials have been meeting with Don, going over the handbook changes to bring to the board. And it's quite a few meetings and fairly extensive. So I think we're at that point where we're about ready to give you guys a product to look at.
Fantastic. Thank you. Law enforcement, emergency management. Ms. Wiegand?
I don't really have anything. I'll fall under solar today.
Okay. Sheriff? Mr. Lytle had asked for a appointment of a committee to go over potential research on a new jail. No one's looking to spend money right now, but if at some point in the future we're going to need a jail, we need to be talking about that. The sheriff also has a needs assessment being done on the jail at no cost, so that will give us an idea of where our weaknesses are. We are in full compliance with the Board of Standards, jail standards. We are in compliance with them. There's discussions on every side of this, from capital expenses to operating expenses, but that'll be looked at going along with our law enforcement chair's request for a committee. I would like to appoint our law enforcement committee, Mr. Lytle, Mr. Dorn, and Ms. Haxby, to that committee along with the sheriff and county attorney. I guess asking you all, is there anyone else that you would like to see put on that? I would like maybe two more members from the public.
I was going to say, I think we need some public in there, because this isn't going to happen without public awareness on what we need to have done. And then
maybe we'll point up to three members from the public, from the boards, from that committee's choosing. We'll let you guys choose who you want for committee members from the public. That way it does give some offset instead of us, just those of us that sit here anyway. Anything else?
I was just going to say, I like having Roger on there, because I think, Roger, you had brought up like juvenile, having that as an option. So I think you have a lot more insight in our needs and what we would need for that.
Eric, I'd also probably put on Trevor, because he needs some of his workings in there, so you'll have an idea.
Trevor as well, from the jail. He's our jail manager, basically. So that would be Lytle, Dorn, Haxby, Sheriff, County Attorney, Trevor, and up to three members from the public by the committee's choosing. So I just want to set that formally today. So then I assume Gary will start heading this up. You guys can decide how you want to function as a committee and start looking into things. But I think Lytle's got some direction already.
There are those grant options out there for, it's not great for money coming, but it's good for financing options.
And there may be some good grants that come along. I mean, it'll take a combination of different financing options to make something like that happen, if it happens. But somewhere down the road, it probably will. It's just a matter of when. Anything else for open session for law enforcement, Sheriff?
No.
Road and Bridge, Mr. Dorn.
Board discussion was about the permits. The crews have been busy. Nutrien is going to have a terminal simulation on June 14th at the highway department. Received calls from the Holmesville residents of concerns about trucks going through town. Rock-On has completed 7 townships of fall 22. RL Teeman has not hauled any gravel to townships yet.
Is that on there?
Puts us at 79 of 96 for gravel to be caught up for this year. They're working hard.
That'll get us to spring of 23. Getting closer.
I have one thing to add. They've been on our project. They've been working, pushing on where we just received the next DSA. So they call it the Cortland DSA. So we'll be looking at that next meeting. And then the people that are in our project area, if they want to be hooked up, there is now a link on their website so they can sign up. So you type in your address, you move your point to your home, and then subscribe or let them know what kind of service you'd want to receive.
Do you happen to know the website?
Fiber.nextlinkinternet.com.
Fiber.nextlinkinternet.com.
Yep. It's really easy. I checked it out. It does work.
Fantastic. So do you know how many crews they have pulling fiber right now?
So the conduit's still going in. I think they had a turbo go out on one of their V8s that they had, so they're a little held up at the moment, but they did bring in another boring crew, so I know that crew, I've seen them on the west side of 77 now, so they're running a bunch of crews trying to stay ahead of the plows.
And they were going to bring in 3 groups of plows pulling conduit, I think. I didn't know if you knew how many plow groups they had right now.
Right, I think there's still one right now,
they
but they're doing...
the holiday weekend.
Yeah, they're doing...
Like 2 for New Zealand, they had additional crews in. They got rained out at other sites.
Fantastic.
So they have, and I think they work as 10 on and some off. Like, ended up the turbo blew at like the end of that 10 day, so they had time to get it fixed at least.
Going well, thank you.
The rain makes a difference.
Unfortunately, yeah. We will move on to the regular agenda here. Items: approve or disapprove resolution to close the judgment fund effective June 30th, 2023.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. This, of course, was the fund that we pooled money into for the Beatrice 6. Just a quick rundown again, going through that. We did raise our tax asking at that time. I think we were around 38 mils. We went up to 50, which was part of some negotiation with the other parties involved. It wasn't an agreement, but kind of a informal agreement to allow us to keep doing business. This was an unheard of judgment in Nebraska, so everything was new. Along with that, Chairman Dorn went through and we We worked out many details with the other attorneys, walked through. We ended up getting an insurance settlement. Now Senator Dorn worked out several things in the legislature as a junior senator, pushing things through early on to help the county, those including $4 million from the state, as well as allowing for a county-wide sales tax. That sales tax, along with everything else, just like closing this out, had end dates, had sunset clauses in it, so it didn't become a perpetual tax. That was item-specific, and that was the agreement all the way along. This, we looked at somewhere between 5 and 8 years, potentially it being longer. We ended up somewhere in that halfway mark of actual time, which has been fantastic. Sales tax came off January 1st. This fund remained open because anything that did come in, it went somewhere. This will basically just close everything out, get us back to business as usual next year, and June 30th, obviously our fiscal year end. So our new fiscal year, it'll just be off the books and it won't be there anymore. Do you want to say anything on this, Senator? This has been a... You were with this from beginning to end, so...
Well, a lot of us here. I know when Terry and I, when we came on the board, we talked about it. That's been 12 years ago, 13, 14 years ago, or whatever, long time. Glad it's done. Very much thank you. I looked at the date on there, and I go, it's the end of the fiscal year. Now you can start the next fiscal year not having this on the books anymore. And I think that's a very, very good cutoff date. So thankful it's paid off. So thankful that we put that behind us. Glad we got it paid off as quick as we did. It was a challenge, but we did a lot of things to help speed that up. And so glad that the county can now put this behind it. It's done. It's going to be closed, period. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys, for your continued work on it, too, because I know when we were when I was still here on the board, we talked to Scott and Dave about the fact that the closed door meetings, they were every meeting, not once in a while. And that apologize to them for that, but that's what happened at that time, and to work through the process. So thank you very much. Thank you, guys, as diligent for getting it all done. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator.
And the sales tax was better than expected, right?
Sales tax was better than expected, and the best part was Department of Revenue told us approximately 40% of that came from outside the borders of Gage County. So it's not tax relief to people, but it was tax relief to people in Gage County, plus it took that property tax off faster. Counselor?
For the record, put your resolution number on.
Oh, I'm sorry. Resolution 23-08.
Thank you.
We have a motion by Juergens, second by Dorn. Any other comment on this item? I'm really happy to see this one going away. Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove resolution 23-09 to transfer opioid funds deposited in general fund to the opioid fund.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Swavely. This, of course, is the, I assume it's a class action lawsuit where we are participating. These funds will just have a home this way as they come in.
I have a question.
Go into that fund.
Where, once it goes into the opioid fund, where does it go? Who allocates it after that?
The board within the guidelines for the settlement. So, and I don't specifically recall, but basically the board would have control of that.
I was talking to a different county, and they said that once it goes out of the fund, it's allocated out. And I didn't know where it goes. I know that some boards are deciding to give it to organizations, but I didn't know if somebody else other than us decided where that went after we
I think
got
it's
it.
Spelled out, specified in the settlement what it can be used for.
Right,
and
but
so then
there's some broad parameters.
Each county is allocated so much, so we can only decide where money goes. But I don't know all the rules as far as what it can and cannot be used for.
I just didn't know that automatically went somewhere once it went into this fund. So just okay.
We had to wait for the state to set up the fund. So previous money coming in had gone just into the general fund. So now that we've set up the opioid fund, we can transfer that money that came in into the opioid.
It's an accounting issue, so it's in the general fund, but this way when it goes to the opioid fund,
it's spent a certain way.
It'll be tracked specifically.
Okay.
Based on that. Good question. We have a motion by Dorn, second by Swavely, to approve Resolution 2309. Any additional questions or discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove Resolution 23-10 to transfer $16,000 to the county attorney budget due to a clerical error. What this was just a little bit of just an error in administration, swapping some salaries around. This will just correct that, but to move that money around, we have to do it publicly. As Senator Dorn said, we used to have a lot of closed-door meetings because of litigation. That's not to cover up things that we do wrong. We make mistakes. This is just a little hiccup. We move some money around wrong. We try to do everything as openly as possible, even the stuff that is a whoops. So this is just a correction. It's all budgeted for. The budget is correct, and the dollars were right there. It was just a mistake in moving money.
Make a motion to approve Resolution 23-10.
Second.
Moved by Swavely, second by Dorn, to approve this transfer, Resolution 23-10.
Just so you know, I'm under budget. The clerical error isn't mine.
And
God knows I've got enough other errors. But
does that check go to Roger then?
It does not. It does not go to Roger. Good question, too, though. We have a motion and a second. Any additional questions or discussion? Please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Approve or disapprove agreement with Dickinson Real Estate for the referee work for the 2023 real estate assessment protest period. This is similar to what we've had in years past. You have a copy of this here.
Is that at the same rate?
I was just going to ask, Michelle, do you remember what the rate was last year? If it's not the same, it's close to the same. He is currently offering consultation and appraisal services at $110 an hour as an independent contractor. That would be for the protest period when he comes in and looks at the items specifically. We may be changing this in years to come. One of the comments Mr. Juergens made years ago, and it's been correct, by having those two professional referees, each person gets the same set of eyes instead of a different grouping of us. As those services may not be available in the future, it may go back to board members. There's positives of having board members. Elected officials are looking at that. The people's selection of a representative is looking at it. The downside is we are not trained assessors or appraisers, and we get different groups. It may be Juergens and I one time. It may be Haxby and Swavely another time. So it gives some consistency. But this is for this year's referee service from Dickinson.
It's just kind of a shame that the assessor can't find or can't come up with and it's been that way forever. It's not something that they should have people in here that have the ability to do that type of work, okay? And I know it's hard to find somebody to do that, but we've talked about that years ago even, okay? So if they had that, it would save us some money.
Full-time staff.
Yeah, it might pay to find somebody and pay them the extra, put it in the budget and pay the extra rather than. That way we have them on staff full-time, so it's not a last-minute thing. But
I've talked to Patty about that, too, and we'll keep talking more about that. There may be some savings there throughout the year by having a full-time person like that. It's just no one wants to spend
money. It's
hard
to do.
It's trying to balance.
Yeah.
What are you really saving? Don and I had that conversation Wednesday about something else. I said, you're using government math. We're going to use real math here and look at, actual in, actual out. Mr. Schuler.
What was the previous rate?
I don't recall. That's what we just asked Michelle. This is at 110 an hour. Years ago, I believe it was at 90 an hour, and it's not a change like
it's not
a large change. I cannot remember exactly what the rate was.
I'm just take a guess, and I think that's what it was at. I'm not saying last year, but maybe two. I don't remember.
I think it was.
I
don't have a copy of it, but I think it was.
It, if you would like us to wait to vote on this, we can recess real quickly, and Michelle could run across the hall.
I don't think
hall.
We should recess for the bathroom.
I could do that.
We could recess here.
I'll run across the hall.
You know what? We've got solar rigs up next, and we'll probably want to take a recess before that anyway, just so that we have that. Why don't we take a 5 or so minute recess at 9:39, and that'll give Michelle a chance to run over and get that for us and anybody that needs to run out in the hallway. We'll recess at 9. We will reconvene at 9:49 on the clock, and I stand in air. We checked those numbers. In 19 and 20, Lloyd Dickinson Real Estate was at $50 an hour. Then in 21, he went to 75, 22 went to 85, and this contract is for 110. So I remembered he was 90, I thought. It was actually 85, and then this one went up $25 an hour for this year.
That could have been standard, I was thinking about, because it wasn't yet earlier at that.
It's very possible. We look at a lot of different contracts, and there are similar items that standard does, as well as refereeing will. We'll have that as well. But we do have we don't have a motion on this item. But I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove the agreement with Dickinson Real Estate for the referee work for the 23 real estate assessment.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Juergens. Any additional discussion on this item? If not, please vote. 6 in favor, motion carries. Up next, approve or disapprove amending the solar setback exemption regulations. And I would ask Ms. Haxby to read the proposed amendment to those.
So I'm a part of it. Lisa did find a error, I guess not error, like clerical, I guess, because we referred to buffers in there, and buffers was never defined. We've used the word screenings. And so instead of saying all other regulations and then such as buffers will still apply, I would say we just strike that such as buffers because all other regulations apply. And then we're not referring to something that wasn't previously in our regulations. So
I don't even think we need to make an amendment on that, do we? We could just say that that's a clerical item since it was. Yeah.
And just strike it.
And just strike buffers. Counselor, does that?
Again, that would be one of those things you can do. You can add a definition if you want to, if it's an ambiguity. Otherwise, it's what we call a Scrivener's error. I mean, if it's obvious with outside references, again, as long as the director who handles all this stuff knows what it means.
It was that the buffer was confusing because you could have a landscape buffer, you could have, you know, a topography buffer. So by striking it out and just saying all of the regulations still apply makes the most sense. Otherwise, we're going to be writing a lot of definitions for buffers.
And that's the intention as well. So I would.
Less confusing.
So just strike it.
Michelle, would you make a note to strike that? And we'll just, before the actual final's out.
Such as buffers.
Just take the such as buffers. Okay. So it says all the regulations will still apply.
Okay, so that took care of that. The rest of the things that she found, I missed a few spaces and periods, so we took care of that. So my amendment for this would be to add at the end of that, would say these facilities shall be contiguous attached to the facility that is being applied for unless the applicant can show a better location and have a majority vote of the County Board of Supervisors. The reason...
Will you read that just once more, just so I can listen again?
These facilities shall be contiguous attached to the facility that is being applied for unless the applicant can show a better location and have the majority vote of the County Board of Supervisors. The reason for this amendment is that we didn't want to just say attached. We didn't want to put a halo. But when you put a facility, we're giving them the setbacks of an industrial facility, but allowing them to put it miles away because you're attaching it to and it being off-grid. And so this puts a safeguard in there for our board to be able to say, you know, if it is 3 miles away and if that is a good location, then go for it. This exemption still applies. If you want an automatic exemption, then it has to be attached. But if we just say that we can change it when we get the special permit for the facility, then if they follow regulations and we say that that's not a good location, then that leaves it open for litigation later because they follow the regs.
That, Emily, that so it could conceivably come from 10 miles away.
Yeah, it could.
Okay.
But we'd have to
give
them permission at that at the time.
Yes.
Which would go along with the special use permit.
Which would be
also.
But it gives us the safeguard to allow us to do that.
One thing I think we've overlooked is that in wind and in solar, one of the defenses of that our setbacks do not affect businesses, solar or wind coming in, if they include more participants. So the same would work for an industry, and I'm not saying this is what it should be, but they'd be covered if they move off site 5-10 miles, if the neighbor is a participant, then the zoning regulations don't apply, correct?
Right.
Yeah, it should tie in like that, I would believe.
I just wanted to bring that up.
Yep.
That is an option.
I'll give an example like the, to my knowledge, like the gas plant that went north of Beatrice, it's right across the road from a new home. I don't believe they received any money for that. So it was just an industry of public power that went right across the road. I don't think they received anything.
Or
an existing home just on the north, you know, just on the north line. So it went right across the road from two homes.
What was the setbacks back then?
So 75
feet.
Yeah, because that fell under, that's the only time that I am aware of that eminence of domain was practiced, because Gage County Zoning never heard that particular special permit process. And we had zoning in place, but they did practice eminence of domain.
Did put a tree buffer in, though, Ms. Haxby.
So I want to be clear, like, I support this concept for off-grid use. I mean, I came up with it about a month ago before this. I just want to make sure that we have a fail-safe to have that opportunity to say, you know, if it is 5 miles away, is that the right location? If it's attached, go for it. Have it be part of the facility. That was the whole point of it. So that would be my amendment.
First of all, before we discuss any more, just for procedure, I'd ask for a motion to approve this amendment. And we did look back. There's a 7 in favor vote to pass the regulations as a whole.
What are we voting?
I would ask for a motion to approve the proposed amendment that Ms. Haxby is proposing.
I think procedurally, I thank the chair for doing it. What are we doing? I'm lost. So, you know, I mean, the regs were approved at the last meeting. Okay, so what are we doing to them? Why are we discussing them again?
Ms. Haxby would like to add additional language to the regulations.
How can we legally do that?
Well, you raised the issue. You can't do that unless you reconsider the motion. And there's protocol that you have to follow through that. The other thing, if you're changing your P&Z regulations, which you would be doing with your request, you got to go back through the whole process under Chapter 11.
We changed it before we voted.
Yes, because that came up from P&Z. And that's the protocol in P&Z. They review it. They have public hearings. They have input. They have temporary regs that they have public hearings on. They tweak it again. Then they give you guys a product. And you can change it, approve it, reject it, which that's what you did at the last meeting. But you've got kind of a, what do I want to say? You got a Robert's rules and you got a procedural rule. The procedural rule will take precedence on the Robert's.
Was there, I thought there was something where it had to be the meeting after to do
that's
something.
That's a motion to reconsider.
So that would unapprove the regulations?
Well, yeah, basically, first of all, under a motion to reconsider, one of the parties, one of the board members that voted for the motion would have to make the motion to reconsider. And it basically, it envisions, I got something new, some new information that we didn't have at the last meeting. Not that we didn't discuss, that we didn't have. And that's the purpose of the motion to reconsider. Not that I just had, I don't like the way I voted last time, I want to change it. But you have to have somebody that supported the motion last time make the motion to reconsider. Then it has to be seconded.
We do have, there's a question on who voted for this. We do have, back through the meeting minutes, listening in, everybody did vote in favor of the regs. So
at the end.
At the end. So that could be anyone. So just to be clear on that.
I didn't have that.
Because I was talking to Ms. Haxby about that Monday, and I said we will find out that today.
Then basically you need somebody to make a motion then, second, and then you'd have discussion.
So to make an amendment here, we would have to reconsider the vote from last week, 2 weeks ago. Have a second, and that puts us back to where we were prior to that vote, and then we could make an amendment again.
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
So it'd be two motions to get it done. You would do a reconsider.
Yeah, the motion to reconsider.
And then I would do my amendment.
And then if that would pass or fail, either one, do we have to re-vote again to approve the minutes? Or, I'm sorry, to approve the regs? Because they're unapproved after that.
Obviously, you'd have to do that. My only question that I'm raising for myself is, if we would do that and make that change, do we have to go back and have P&Z look at it again?
Well, if we're just reconsidering the motion that ended it, then we would be opening up where we were, which was here.
Yeah.
Make the amendment and then close it out.
But can we reapprove them without that being on the agenda?
Yeah.
We can.
Based on a motion to reconsider, yeah. Okay. You know, the problem is, well, and again, for the board standpoint, you could do this every meeting for the next 3 years. And that's why, you know, I mean, the whole thing envisions a stability. And that's why I go back and I just, in Robert's comments, is make sure it's something that wasn't there that you're bringing up. You know, not just, I'm not feeling good about my vote. It's I didn't know this. It wasn't brought to our attention this. So.
I would guess you don't have new information. It's just you want to make this change.
I mean, this is a new concept. I mean, we're on the spot trying to figure out.
New information. Like, you found out the NDE said that the groundwater was bad or something like that. That would be something that you would go, whoa, wait a minute. Or you found out that this whole area. So maybe as
well, this could pertain to more than one industry. That's why I want to make sure we have a safeguard.
And again, under your regs, that's a pervasive situation that should go back to planning and zoning, and it should be brought up through planning and zoning with recommendations. If you're talking about all industry, if you're saying, I can't buy land in Gage County that isn't next to where I live and do what I want with it through the process of getting a special use permit. That is a tremendous restriction on real estate. I think about it.
I'm just talking about the exemption.
I live by Philly, but I want to buy a farm that came up 120 acres and farm it up by Adams. And you're going to say, wait a minute, we're going to take a look at that.
You're not changing the use. We're talking about a facility.
You said industry. You said industry.
Yeah.
Agriculture industry. Is industry. I'm saying this brings in a whole concept that I think P&Z should want to look at as far as how they restrict it, because it is a very strong restriction. And I pull agriculture because that's our main industry in this county. And I know you're not intending that, but why did they get treated differently than somebody that wants to have a livestock or a welding shop? I'm trying to think some other businesses.
You don't want to have a welding shop.
Mr. Jergens.
Okay, if we just say 2 years ago, I wasn't happy with the way the turbine vote came out. Does that mean I can go right now and say, hey, I want this setback changed. Let's vote on it.
I would say no.
I mean, as an example.
It has to go back to P&Z.
As an example is what I'm saying.
So what you're saying is what it matters if it's 2 years or 3 days or 2 weeks, it was still passed. And
yeah, I mean,
right?
You can't do that, or can you?
Well, when we were doing it, I mean, Ms. Haxby fervently argued to make this contiguous. We went back and forth on votes, and there was, I mean, I got to give her credit. She was very tenacious on that, kept going back and forth. And one, I had to laugh even because she made me try to come up with a way to say something, the same thing in a different manner, and I couldn't. But, Terry, technically, I don't think so. We would review it, or we'd ask P&Z to review it. We'd send it there. We'd go back through what we asked them to look at, whether that be wind regulations or a specific item on wind regulations. I guess, Roger, the difference would be, is it different because it's the next meeting?
Well, the motion to reconsider, that's Robert's rules. And basically you have it in your standing rules. I believe it's rule 16 of your standing rules, which adopts a motion to reconsider under Robert's rules of order. That allows, you know, somebody to say, I want to reconsider it, and here's why I want to reconsider it. If they file a motion or they make a motion, it's seconded, and you discuss it.
So process would be to make this amendment, we would have to reconsider our regs. Or reconsider the vote to approve the solar regs.
Yeah, reconsider the motion that you indicated everybody supported at the last meeting.
Before we talk about this any more, then we'll just start going through process. Do we have a motion to reconsider the solar regulations?
I want to clear something up
real quick. Saxby.
So we reconsider the motion to end it. Basically, we're just going back to working on it. Then I amend it, and then we would vote to approve it, and it would be done. Correct?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
You move the reconsider the motion, the one that ended the regs. That would basically open it back up to us again. Then I could make the motion to amend. We vote whether we do that or not. Then we close it back up again by approving the regs.
Yeah. I mean, that would be one scenario that you would have.
Because that reconsider vote has to be done the meeting after.
You have to have a motion reconsider, second, and approved.
Yep.
To bring it back out to back into play. And after today, that can't be done.
And then it can't be done. It's done.
Except going back through
and then it has to go through
that you have in your planning and zoning regs,
okay.
Chapter 11, that basically says I would amend however you're thinking. And then P&Z would have to look at it.
Yeah, do their public but because hearings. It's the meeting after, we can reconsider.
Right. Reconsideration is only available at the same meeting or at the next immediate meeting.
Now, my question would be, does it require additional information, or is that something
that's the intent of the motion for reconsider? Not the purpose is not to extend debate. But again, That's one of those arguments. But that's basically to put some finality to it, unless somebody brings something that says this wasn't discussed, we should have looked at this. And if enough of the board says, yeah, you're right.
I'll say that I'm happy with the regulations the way they are. As Ms. Mason said earlier, being steered by Engage, I would argue the other way, that the board and different people that be are steering Engage in a direction that we feel is correct, and we're requiring our director to do what we're asking. In doing that, it's a process of working together, of course, but the intention is obvious. Promote industry. We talk about taxes all the time. I'm sorry, building one or two more houses is not going to lower taxes at the speed at which bringing in industry and providing jobs is. The DED is currently sending things our way. I'm not a big green pusher. I'm whatever's economic. I like coal production of power. I don't try to hide that. It's generally reliable and economical. But as these businesses are applying for information, a lot of the businesses require green energy, whether it be wind, solar. Western Nebraska, we have hydro, another great one. Hydro is not necessarily popular either if you're flooding cemeteries, towns. How many ponds do you know? I shouldn't say ponds. How many lakes do you know that have flooded a community or sections of roadway or other spots? So hydro has its own issues too. In this area, we don't have that. But this is, I guess, that exception. The goal I had in mind was try to promote industry. They can self-generate power. They can meet their requirements. And if they're next to a piece of ground that doesn't work or it's not feasible economically to put something on, they have the option to skip over that instead of having a landowner hold them hostage. I've been in that situation myself. It's not fun. And if they think they have you over a barrel, that price doesn't go down. We've seen that as a board. As soon as someone knows that the county's looking at a piece of property, that price generally doesn't go down. It's easier to work without them knowing it's a government agency. That's my thought on this. At the same time, I want to know what the procedure is. So if Ms. Haxby wants to add this, we do know the route, and I think we've established that so that we can do it. We just need a motion, a second, and then we'll go from there. Mr.
One other thing I just want to cover, so we got to ask Lisa. Since they've adopted them at the last meeting, the new regs, has there been any, have you used those regs? Have they applied? Have you applied them in any given situation? Because there's
in the last 2 weeks?
Yes.
No, I have had people contact me to get copies of what the county board, you know, has come up with, and I stated that.
Thank you. I know I put you on the spot, but the reason I ask that is if, based on the board's action, if somebody had come down and says, "Hey, I want to do this because da 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 da," and made an application,
not in the last 2 weeks,
basically
not.
That would have stopped us. The motion to reconsider. So I just want the record so I covered it.
We are currently under moratorium right now too, until it was going to be this meeting, but it still could be this meeting, but I did not know that we'd be voting for sure the last time. Mr. Swavely?
Well, yeah, I think that we've went around the table a dozen times last meeting, okay, and finally made up our mind what we thought we wanted to have, okay, which is I'm in agreement with. If we want to, I think, and you correct me if I'm wrong, Roger, okay, if we want to change something, or if we come up with a better way to improve it, that can be done later. Is that correct, by going through the same process that you were just discussing?
Absolutely. It can be initiated by the board, by citizens, or by planning and zoning themselves. Obviously, Lisa would be an integral part of any of those things because people are going to be talking to her and kind of using her as a sounding board, you know, like, I think we need a little more screening or whatever on a given site. Okay, so you can sit down and help them maybe draft something to bring to P&Z. So, yeah. And that's, again, that's in your protocol for out of your planning and zoning, which the planning and zoning regulations, by the way, are based on state law. So that's why they take a trump on
the Roberts. So if Emily wants to change something or would like to alter something, that could be done later if she comes up with something that would make it a change. I mean, a legitimate reason to change it, other than we didn't have enough or we didn't have the opportunity or enough time in thinking about how we wanted to word it.
And
I don't mean that to be.
I'll argue that for Emily. She has a reason that the reason.
I understand it. Okay. Yeah. We've talked about it. We've had phone calls. Okay. So it's not something that I don't understand, but.
I support this concept of attaching it to that permit, but when you have Lisa, it's a question for you. When you have a permit come in, is one application here and 3 miles away too?
No, it's all.
It's always on one location.
Two separate ones. Yeah, it would be two separate.
It would be two separate ones. Mm-hmm. So then, how does that work? That now is a separate application, so it's no longer with the industry. I guess that's fine. We'll use it that way. That answers, that takes care of it.
I think, you know, going back, if you're...
Takes care of it. We're done. We're good.
It answers your question.
We're good. I don't need an amendment then.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
If you were... I just want to clarify, I guess, if I can. So solar structures, facilities are keeping that bottom...
Yep, it can still stay that way because if it's in a different, completely different location, it'd be a different permit. Problem solved.
And that brings everything back for us to discuss and decide.
Okay. Which on a special use permit it would anyway.
I think the clarity too a little bit is, you know, remember it comes reviewed by P&Z first, so you know they're going to have some questions, you know, when it comes to. You know, different things or can still set conditions, and you guys in the end can also set some conditions or come up with new conditions.
So as a project would come in, P&Z goes through the process, looks at everything, approves, disapproves, changes, modifies, and theirs is a recommendation still. They vote to recommend this to the board. It comes to the board, and then we can start from scratch if we want. Hopefully we don't, but we would look at everything. But these would still fall under a special use permit. The idea is that way you can have one permit instead of multiple. If you have to have multiple permits, there's a chance that you get one and not the other. Well, that fails a project. The intent is to have one permit.
That's not the
way it goes through.
And that's not the way it is here. Because if it's here and 3 miles away, then that's two permits.
I would argue it's not. If they're going to be part of a special use permit,
but they wouldn't be part of because it's two different locations.
I am looking though at the last three lines of your regulations though, and Emily, you asked me the question of two separate areas, but as this reads for self-consumption, if they were going to run the transmission lines and that was part of the project. Then that particular three sentences or three lines states that that is the same project. So.
And I would refer you back to the minutes of the discussion, too. It was specifically stated to have...
Then that's wrong. Like different projects.
That was the intention to have one permit, though. And I mean, I'll refer back to the minutes. It was because a lot of times it's the intent. Wording can be tough. It's the intent. And I'm just being very... flat and clear what the intent was and what was said. I can't always remember everything, but the one permit I remember making that comment. The narrow possibility of this is self-consumption. Your fear is large wind or what? Large? Gosh darn it! I even have solar written down here. Nope, they changed my page. The intention, your fear is a solar farm being abused, a large solar facility being placed somewhere. Does this stop that from happening somewhere? No. But having that facility be some enormous, purely electric producing facility for throwing power on the grid, that's not allowed here. And because a large production area is not going to be put in if they can't sell the power. It's not a situation where if you build it, they will come. If we put in 3,000 acres of panels, a business isn't going to come move next door and say, hey, there's 3,000 acres of solar panels next door. Maybe we should build there and use that power.
So does it have to be with a new permit then? Because if you permit something new, like let's say there's an industry out there already, and now there's this exemption for an industry. If they add it and it's 3 miles away, that's a new permit that wouldn't fall under this.
It would have to be a new special use permit, yes. So if Factory A in Hoyg that's been existing there wanted to build a solar field, or they wanted to add on, either way, they would need a new special use permit.
But they wouldn't fall under the exemption, or would they fall under the exemption?
With a new special use permit, they would. I would assume they would because it'd be a new special use permit.
You know, permit, because when you look at Hoyg, I know we shouldn't fine-tune one specific industry.
Just thinking of an area there.
Those are all existing, so that would be, you know, that would fall under a new special use permit.
Exemption wasn't in place when they got their permit to build there.
So, but I'm saying, like, if they wanted to add a facility, I'm not, like, a Hoyg, right. wherever, Monolith, whatever industry's out there,
mm-hmm.
right? If you want to put in a new one.
A new solar
array? Attach a solar, they wouldn't get the exemption. They would fall under our regs.
It'd be new.
The full regs.
In my opinion, it'd be separate.
It'd be new. This says solar facilities that will be part of an industrial special use permit. So are you asking, can they just build a solar facility?
Yeah, can they just attach it with that exemption? Anywhere.
The way I wrote that, it has to be part of an industrial special use permit. So it would be an industrial project. Then it would...
And it would have to be attached to that. It can't be something added on.
It would have to be attached to that new new industrial special use permit. Like a new solar farm is not an industrial special use permit. It's a solar special use permit.
Okay.
So it would be an industrial facility... If, let's say, Tim's Tires or something's going to build, they're already there, and they're going to build an addition or whatever, they could attach that to that addition or that new facility or something like that. But we're getting off track a little bit. If we're going to make an addition to this, we would need a motion to reconsider.
Question.
Mr. Schuler.
Emily, why did you vote for this last or 2 weeks ago if you were against it?
I came up with this after.
So it's an afterthought that you wanted to amend.
To come up with
something. But you agreed with it when you voted on it.
I think it was the best thing we could come up with that day, so.
And I think that's a fair statement. I don't know that she agreed with it fully.
Well, I didn't either, but...
But you voted for it, too, so...
Yeah, and I'm satisfied with my vote.
I will say I talked to Jeff Argo. It would have been last Wednesday, I believe. Of course, Jeff Argo's the planning and zoning chairman. We visited about this. We visited about this in particular. We visited about the setbacks. And Lisa, please correct me if I'm wrong. It sounded like the P&Z had a pretty good appetite for decreasing all the setbacks on the solar regs as a whole, but it was kind of an in-between. There were members that wanted much larger setbacks. There were quite a few that wanted, there were members that wanted larger setbacks, and there were members that wanted almost no setback on some of this.
they didn't all agree. They came up with a...
We did consensus like you. We created that balance, you know, on some of those high points, on setbacks, you know, with churches and specifically platted subdivisions. And of course, keep in mind, we had the churches and the schools and the homestead all in one and the NRD ponds and so forth. But then you've split those out. So it was a matter of doing it the same process that you did, was consensus it, and finding that balance. So.
And I have to say good job to you guys. Now, whether we, not necessarily on this item particularly, but there was a lot of discussion. Mr. Juergens was itching, I know, to get done, but everybody stayed. We went through. We had multiple votes. We had some votes that passed, some votes that failed, but we kept going through. And that's important on any,
that's what it's
on
all
any
about.
Issue. Now, just like one of our members of the public here, we're not happy with my opinion on this. That was not an opinion I came up with lightly. It took a lot of thought. How can we try to encourage growth here? We all need tax relief. This is not, in my opinion, putting people below industry, but it's trying to make people work with industry. Mr. Juergens.
I want to remind you, you got the chief of police waiting on you. Okay? You want to end up in the hoose cow over there?
Much rather not.
Mr. Chairman, though, I do want to say that as far as this particular subject matter, that was not discussed by PNC, you know, as far as something that would have self-consumption. So we didn't really address any of that. It wasn't being proposed to us at the time, and so there was no consideration, you know, to separate that out at the time.
And we also are required to give our rigs back to PNC as soon as we have them done. We haven't been holding them for this or any other reason. We just didn't have them complete yet. They will be shortly, and we'll get them to you right away. So back to the matter at hand, I would ask if we are going to change this, first item would be, do we have a motion to reconsider the vote on May 31st for approving the solar regulations?
I still think it's very poorly written in the fact that you can attach something 3 miles away and call it the same facility. I do not see it as the same facility. I see that as two different things. But I guess when it comes to a special use permit, I guess we'll have to look at that. As long as it can be attached to one, I don't know.
It's
still
required.
Very poorly written.
I'll ask once more, just before we move on, do we have a motion to reconsider? If not, I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove removing the solar moratorium for permits, with the thought that the moratorium was only there until regulations got through PNC. And then on to the Board of Supervisors for approval.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Dorn, second by Schuler. Any discussion on this? If not, please vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order prior to going into closed session for possible litigation? He's part of our closed session.
Closed session. Oh, boy.
And we were supposed to be done by 10 o'clock, and it's 10:27.
P.M. that was.
Oh.
Yeah.
No action will be taken after this. The closed session is for the protection of the necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10.
Do you want more?
Mark, will you hang around too for the first part?
Yeah.
Motion to approve.
To go into closed session at 10:27. Moved by Dorn.
Second.
Second by Swavely. Please vote.
6 in favor. We are in closed session. I believe so, because he has something with Mark. Can those two stay? It's
a while.
Would you open us up, Dave? You both deal with enough abuse every day as it is. You're just immune to it. Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Do you want him back at this time?
You betcha. No problem, man. Yeah. Turned out good.
If he could come back, even do you want him at committee meetings or just for law enforcement committee?
Probably better when it's informal. So.
And Gary's usually here. It's pretty easy going. I mean, we're pretty informal anyway. But then Gary.
The next 2 weeks.
Yeah, that would be June 26th. That's what Sheriff said. He said, I'd ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 10:53.
Motion to come out of closed session.
Second.
Moved by Dave, moved by Swavely, second by Dorn. Please vote.
Yeah.
5 in favor with Ms. Haxby stepping out. Motion carries. Anything? 4 in favor with Juergens and Haxby stepping out of the room. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing none, we will adjourn at 10:54.
Okay.
Thanks, Chief.